Somebody asked me the following question. He had a friend who owned a merchant cash advance company, and his friend offered for him to invest with him, as he generally had very high returns. His friend mentioned to him that primarily he lent to non-Jewish clients. However, on occasion, there were some Jewish clients that he did indeed lend to. And the question is, does the Issur Ribis apply to a merchant cash advance arrangement? And second of all, even if it would, is this strictly the lender's problem, or is this something that the investor has to be concerned about as well? Just to point out that the whole cash advance industry is more or less 20 years old, so it's more of a current shiloh and a discussion amongst the contemporary Paiskim. My objective is just to present the outcome from the Rabbanim that I spoke to, as well as based off a tshuva brought down in the Sefer Mishnas Ribis and an article posted on the Beis Din Meisharim's website. However, if this shiloh is relevant to someone, an individual shiloh should definitely be asked. To give a brief explanation of what a cash advance agreement is, let's say, for example, we have a clothing store that is in need of funds, and for whatever reason, the owner might have poor credit rating or insufficient collateral. They are unable to obtain a conventional business loan, as they are deemed a higher risk borrower. Many times, a cash advance company will be willing to accept that risk in exchange for a very high return. The way the loan is structured, if, for example, it's a $100,000 loan and the lender wants to receive 40% interest, instead of lending $100,000 and requiring the borrower to repay $140,000, the lender advances the $100,000, and in exchange, he receives $140,000 of the merchant's future account receivables, meaning that the lender has the ability to collect $140,000 worth of payments that are made to this merchant. Generally, the lender has access to the merchant's credit card processing company. Many times, the lender has access even to the business's bank accounts. And the lender will make daily withdrawals starting the day after the money's advanced. Typically, the parties will make some agreement in that the lender can only take up to a certain percentage of daily receivables, generally between 10 to 20%. And the lender will continuously make daily withdrawals until he receives his entire $140,000. Now, the reason why it's structured as a purchase of account receivables and not as a loan is that in many states, there are usury laws which limit the amount of interest a lender is allowed to charge a borrower. Therefore, since this arrangement is being structured as a purchase of account receivables, the usury laws would not apply. On the other hand, since it's technically only a purchase of account receivables, the lender is officially limited in that he can only take a certain percentage of daily receivables. And if, for example, on a specific day, the merchant makes less sales, officially the lender can only make a small withdrawal, and it will take him longer to get to his $140,000. And most importantly, if the business is forced to declare bankruptcy and ceases to operate, the lender would generally be limited to what he's able to collect from. Now, from a legal perspective, New York has been favorable, and they have indeed considered this arrangement a purchase, in which the usury laws do not apply. Other states, historically in California, currently in Montana, a judge called this a loan in disguise and applied the usury limitations. And the question is how it's viewed from a halachic perspective. Do we say that since it's being structured as a purchase, the Issur Ribis will not apply? Or perhaps it has enough characteristics of a loan and the Issur Ribis would indeed apply? And the first question is, what exactly is the lender purchasing? In the last episode, we discussed what's known as a factoring agreement. And there, a third party buys existing invoices. They are obligated to pursue the customer. On some occasions, they even stand to lose if a specific customer defaults. By a merchant cash advance agreement, the lender is not receiving any specific invoices. They're not obligated to pursue those customers. They merely take money that is coming in to the merchant's credit card processing company or to the merchant's bank accounts. Therefore, one can definitely argue that in all practicality, the lender is extending money and purchasing future money that's being paid to the merchant. Now, in a transaction where someone is giving money and receiving additional money in return, there it's clear from the Rishonim, the Rivash, and Simon Shehei that it's irrelevant what language is used. If you call it a purchase, you call it a sale, a transaction of money for money is inherently a loan, and the Issur Ribis will definitely apply. Even if we would consider that the lender is purchasing future account receivables, we discussed in the last episode that it's only permitted for a lender to sell a debt owed to him to a third party for a discount only if the buyer is accepting liability, that in the event the borrower defaults, the buyer will stand to suffer the loss. However, if the seller is retaining liability, and in the event the borrower defaults, the seller is committing to reimburse the buyer, Here, this ribbis would apply, and depending on the exact arrangement, it could even potentially be a shiloh of ribbis ketsutza. In a cash advance arrangement, the lender is not being assigned a specific invoice. Even if one customer would default, the lender would simply collect from the next invoice. And therefore, it would seemingly be considered that the seller is retaining liability. So even if you would consider it a purchase of accounts receivables, the issur ribbis would still seemingly apply. There's a concept we discussed in episode 2, known as an iska, which means an investment, that although it is forbidden for a Jewish person to lend to another Jewish person and collect interest, it is permitted to invest with another Jewish person and receive a return. Perhaps one could argue that since in a cash advance arrangement, the lender's ability to collect is tied to the success of the business, perhaps we can consider it an investment and it would be permitted. However, this clearly is not the case. The investment that's discussed in the Gemara is where the investor's profits and losses are tied directly to the investment's profitability. If the investment creates profits, the investor will share in the profits. If the investment suffers a loss, the investor will share in that loss. In a cash advance arrangement, it is irrelevant how profitable the business is. Even if the business is operating at a loss, as long as there are sufficient funds in the business, enough for the lender to receive his principal and predetermined interest amount, he will be able to collect it. And since he will be collecting a return, even in the event that the business suffers a loss, this is clearly not the iska that's discussed in the Gemara. There's a Marshdam in Yardei Simon Samech Alf that discusses a similar concept, and he says this as well. Another point, in episode 8, we discussed the Psak of the Irgiz Moshe, who maintained that the issur ribbis did not apply on a non-recourse loan, meaning on a loan where nobody is personally responsible, and the lender is limited that it can only collect from a company's assets. The Torah does not recognize this transaction as a loan, and the issur ribbis will not apply. The majority of Paiskim disagreed. They all held that the issur ribbis would apply. However, this is the Psak of the Irgiz Moshe. Technically speaking, if the merchant is not personally responsible, then this would be subject to this Machlekes of the Irgiz Moshe and the other Paiskim. However, on a practical level, it seems like that many contracts do require that the merchant sign a personal guarantee. So as long as the personal guarantee is only triggered if the merchant is negligent or commits a fraudulent act, it would seemingly still be considered a non-recourse loan. However, and as it seems to be common, if the clauses are more aggressive, such as if the borrower misses a payment or if the borrower voluntarily stops working, then in all practicality, the borrower is personally responsible to repay the loan and the Hetter v'Irgiz Moshe would seemingly not apply. Finally, many cash advance lenders justify their high interest rates due to the fact that there's an extremely high default rate. A specific lender told me his default rate is upwards of 20%, and that's how they justify charging such high interest amounts. Now, whether or not that's justified from a business perspective, we don't find a heter that if we have a high-risk borrower, it's permitted to charge interest. Every lender accepts some level of risk that the borrower will not pay, and even so, there's no amount of ribbis that is allowed. However, the fact that the lender is accepting that if the business is forced to go bankrupt, they will suffer that loss, is more of a question. There are Gemaras in Bamutzi Daf Ayin Gimel, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Simkuf Ayin Gimel, that discuss such cases in ribbis and sales. There are many cases that although the lender is accepting a risk, this ribbis still applies. There is a case in Kuf Ayin Gimel Sif Yud, which seems to contradict that and allow the lender to charge interest due to the risk that he's accepting. However, based on the way the Rishonim resolve this contradiction and Rikvager speaks to that clearly. The Heter only applies case of ribbis and sales where a buyer was prepaying for an item that already existed. But if the item that the buyer is receiving in return does not yet exist, the Heter will not apply. Therefore, in a cash advance arrangement where the lender is purchasing future accounts receivables, this Heter would seemingly not apply. Furthermore, the Radvaz in Tshuva Tav Tzadik Zayin speaks out that this Heter is specifically in ribbis and sales, but would definitely not apply in other forms of loans. So to summarize, a cash advance arrangement is where a lender extends money and purchases a future amount of the merchant's account receivables. Under this arrangement, if both parties are Jewish, this ribbis would seemingly apply, as perhaps this transaction is simply extending money to receive additional money, in which this ribbis applies regardless of the language that's used. Furthermore, even if it is considered a purchase of account receivables, it's clear in Yerdei Simkuf Ayin Gimel Sif Dalet that where the buyer is receiving the account for a discount, it is only permitted if the buyer is accepting liability that in the event of a borrower's default, he will suffer that loss, as opposed to a cash advance arrangement in which, even if a specific customer defaults, the lender would simply take from the next invoice. And this would seemingly not be considered an iska, because the lender has the ability to collect his principal and interest even where the business is operating at a loss. And finally, if there are any carve-outs that require the merchant to accept a personal guarantee, in more instances, than just fraudulent or negligible acts, it would seemingly be considered a recourse loan, and the hetta of their gesmeisha would not apply. Now, what creates a unique problem in a cash advance arrangement is that in most ribbis transactions, a hetriska can be used, which can circumvent this ribbis. However, in many scenarios, a hetriska would not be appropriate for a cash advance arrangement. And the reason for this is, something we discussed in episode 5, that the way a hetriska allows a lender to receive a return is that when using hetriska, the transaction is restructured from a loan into an investment, and the lender slash investor is receiving a return based on the fact that he has the right to assume that his money created this amount of profits. Therefore, when using hetriska, the lender can only demand a reasonable return, an amount of profits that is possible for his money to create. Many cash advance agreements charge extremely high interest. They could be charging 18-25% on a 3-month loan. And if you add on the fees and the fact that they're making daily withdrawals literally the day after the money is received, it can come out to over a triple-digit annual return. And if that doesn't make sense, if there's no reasonable expectation that the merchant can create that amount of profits over the time of the loan, a hetriska would not be appropriate. Now, this being the case, in many scenarios, it would only be permitted to extend a cash advance loan to a non-Jew, which leads to the question, how much research or due diligence must a lender do to determine whether a client is Jewish or not? It's not a practical business question to ask every client if he's Jewish or not. And this leads to a complicated question of when a lender is allowed to rely on the Roiv, that Roiv people in the world are non-Jewish. On the other hand, there's a concept of Kol Kavua, which does not allow one to rely on the Roiv. And this is a complicated question with many different opinions. And again, if this shaila is relevant to someone, they should ask their specific Rav how they should go about this. Now, this is all regarding the actual cash advance agreement. Getting back to our shaila, we had an investor who wanted to know if this ribbis would apply to him, and is it his responsibility to make sure that there's no ribbis violation taking place? There's a concept many times throughout ribbis, specifically in Yardeisim and Kuf Samaches, Sif Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet, that when someone gives money to someone else to lend to a third party, as long as the original lender is still responsible, that in the event the borrower defaults, he will suffer that loss, the money is still considered to be in his possession. And although a third party might be facilitating the loan is still considered to be taking place from the original lender to the borrower. And therefore, if someone is investing in a cash advance company, to the extent that if a customer defaults, he will stand to lose that money, it would be considered an investment, and it would be considered that his money is being lent to the borrower. Therefore, if this loan would violate ribbis, it would definitely be the investor's problem. Furthermore, even if he's lending the money to the cash advance company, since in order to receive a return, he would have to write a hetriska, hetriska is essentially turning it back into an investment. So regardless, it would be the original lender's problem. There is a Tshuvas Rashi that Raman Yodei Tzimek of Samach brings down that discusses a leniency when lending through a shliach. However, there are many different opinions in this Rashi, and according to the Chavos Das, if not all the Paiskim, this would not apply in our scenario.